Welcome to Radio Rehab. I'm Dana.
If this is your first time listening, this is a show about addiction and recovery by addicts, for addicts, and their families, or anyone who knows an addict. This is a two-part conversation that I've had with Jack Grisham. You might know him. He's the lead singer of the band TSOL. He also wrote the book An American Demon and A Principle of Recovery. He's written a bunch of other books, but those are the top two that I highly suggest. At some point, we're going to get him back on the phone, but it's not going to be a phone call. It's going to be an actual Skype call where it's much easier to understand. I'm going to go through his book, A Principle of Recovery, and then he and I are going to talk about it together and share that information with you guys coming up later on this year. But first, I needed to get on the phone with somebody who had long-term sobriety, and a friend of mine that I know through meetings up here in San Francisco connected me with Jack, and he would probably laugh at me for saying this, but I think he should become a therapist. Like, I got so much out of this conversation. It was like five meetings in one to me. I really needed it. I was going through a lot of anger, some resentment, and a lack of faith. And we discuss all of those things in this conversation, and this is the first part of it. Let's join the combo.
Welcome to Radio Rehab. Here's your host, Dana Keys.
How much can you tell me about your story?
Whatever you can ask me. Basically, my life's been open for too long. It doesn't matter. I don't think it matters anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think anything could be told to you. I mean, it's, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I just asked my co-pilot if that's okay. She's okay. But no, it's nice is that this is the first time. So my co-pilot here in the car, we've only met like 5 minutes ago was the first time we met. So now she's going to be in the car listening to this stuff and then wondering who the hell did I get in the car with? which kind of makes it fun. It's like, oh, wow, you're stuck in here.
I mean, it could be worse. It could be much worse. Could be like, you know, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer or something, but it's not.
No, because I don't have any kills. Although, what's interesting is I have every single trait of a serial killer with no confirmed kills.
Really?
Yeah, everyone. Domineering mother, high IQ, white, middle-aged, liked to set fires when I was a kid, abusive animals, bully.
Like,
reckless behavior.
Like Dexter.
Yeah, but just no kill.
Because so instead, we'll see the thing with Dexter, though, is I don't think, I mean, I watched that whole show. I don't think I ever saw him, like, drink or use. So I think, like, is that the difference? That's where your outlet was?
I don't think so. I just never got around to it, probably.
Right. Or you got sober before that could happen.
Or I just got lucky that nobody perished.
Right.
Which was probably, that's probably the truer answer.
Right.
Because I think about it sometimes now, like being sober, and I just shudder. It's like, oh my God. It literally makes me sick to my stomach thinking how many times I put people's lives in danger and just didn't care.
Right. Back when you were drinking and using.
Yeah.
And you've been sober for how long now? A lot,
well,
right?
You think the behavior stops when you put down the booze? Is this how you think?
That's what's bothering me lately is like, well, I only have 4 years, but all the old like thought patterns are coming back. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck? This is not what I signed up for.
But where do you think they were going to go?
Well, I thought maybe if, you know, I did the thing and I worked the steps that they would go away.
And you would be born again in the new image of God.
Yes. That is kind of what I thought.
Look at, even Jesus had bad days. there's like a great Bible story. Because I always like these Bible guys. I'm not against it. I don't mean to sound like I'm against it. Right? But, you know, there's this story where he was, you know, and we say it all the time, that faith, if you had faith strong as a mustard, you've heard that story, right? The faith as small as a mustard seed, that thing?
Nope, never heard it.
Oh, well, whatever. If you feel like, you know, anyway, he was hungry and he said, get me fruit from that tree. And they came back and said, there's no fruit on it. So he got pissed off and he just withered the tree. he just destroyed this tree just because it didn't have fruit on it.
And that's a Bible story?
Yeah, it's a Bible story.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, there's another one, yes. It's also where he beat up these guys. Anyway, yeah, those are all legitimate. Those are conference-approved. Conference-approved literature.
Well, how then, like, what is your take on how you, like, don't act on that behavior then? How do you not do that?
Oh, do you think that I make a conscious decision not to act like that?
Yes! Do you not?
I do not. I do not make a conscious decision not to act like that.
So then what decision do you make? An unconscious decision or no decision?
Well, I guess it's an unconscious decision. I mean, if we really talk about it, if I had the will to just say, well, I'm not going to do that, well, then I'd just use that will all across the board.
Right.
But it's already been shown that my willpower in areas such as that is weak at best. So I have to just trust that whatever's going on in the system is going to hopefully, I don't act like that anymore, supposedly. And on the times I do, I have to clean it up.
Right.
I mean, I've been sober now almost 31 years. So it's like, you don't think I've lost my temper or put hands on people or acted inappropriately in all that time? That'd be crazy.
Right. Of course.
I'd be a saint.
But how do you deal with, like, the feelings that come up or, like, the anger when you get angry? Because that's my thing. It's like, if I'm not doing the thing and working my program, I get angry.
Well, I mean, you can work a program and still get angry. I think it's a different mindset. It's like you're putting together a different mindset, the way you think about things, see stuff. I don't anger the way I used to. Doesn't mean I don't get angry, but there's a lot of stuff where my ideas behind what's happening have changed so much that there isn't any anger there.
Right.
Like, I understand that people are just people. They're going to do what they're going to do. A lot of it, they act the way they act, and I just don't take it personally. You know, there's been some, like, maturity or whatever.
Right. Emotional sobriety.
Right. I'm not like a little boy throwing a fit.
Right.
But I did throw a lot of fits when I was new. I was just unsedated.
Right.
And that's not good. That's not good for anybody.
Yeah, like,
I love these
guys.
They say, hey, you want to get sober? No. Of course I don't. Nobody wants that. They just don't want to be in trouble. Nobody wants to be sober. They just don't want to be in trouble. That's what they want. When somebody comes in brand new, they just don't want to be in trouble.
Or they don't want to be sick.
Well, sick is trouble, too. I mean,
hey, oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Hey, that is a trouble.
Yeah, it's like, hey, if you gave them an offer and said, hey, we can get all these warrants off your back, do all this, blah, 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 and you won't feel ill, and, you know, you can still get loaded, they're like, cool. They're going to take that any day.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to come in and say, you know, hey, you're going to hurt, you're still going to have warrants, your life's going to be a total shithole. You know, you're going to be fucking miserable. You don't know how to handle things like a grown-up. And you're going to get sober. How's that sound?
Right.
Nobody says that's killer. I'm in. I'm 100% in on that. Nobody.
What?
Crazy. And the worst time in being sober is when the drugs and the alcohol have stopped and the steps have not kicked in.
Yeah.
That was the worst. Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, you may be stoked the first couple of days because you're not throwing up, your body's not aching, you're not in jail, blah, blah, blah. But then in a week or two, when all of a sudden that stuff stops, well, you know, you start forgetting the sting, man, and now you just got the sting of living day to day and dealing with people and having to talk to people, and you got to pay taxes and rent and show up, and people expect results. It's like, oh, this is fucked.
And you have to open your mail. That was the one that really pissed me off. I had to open my mail.
Yeah, being a grown-up blows.
Oh, my God, so much.
Yeah, especially if you're an alcoholic or an addict. What do they say? Childlike, grandiose, childish.
Yeah.
More so than childlike and grandiose. It's like, and now these people are supposed to grow up. And the sedation, anything that made it easier to get through the day is now gone.
Right.
And so how's that feel? You know, it's like, I had a buddy that used to say, hey, if you're happy, if you're brand new and happy to be here, you're too sick to stay.
Oh, my God. I've never heard that. That's dark.
Oh, I just loved it, though. But he was totally true, man. You see these people come in and they're brand new and they're all stoked. It's like, yeah, you're stoked because you don't have any idea what's going on.
Right. You don't know how bad things are about to get.
You're right.
Well, yeah, that's
right.
Why I...
I mean, that's my opinion. Some people come in and they quit everything and they're happy. Like, it took me a long time to be okay with what... Like, you know, I used to tell people my ship came in on January 8th of 1989, but my dock workers were on strike.
Oh.
That thing didn't get unloaded for years.
Oh.
Like, I hear people talk about how grateful they were, and I just think... Fuck you, man. They'd go, I've got the house on the hill, a beautiful car, my wife. It's like, bitch, why don't you get on the bus with me and ride around in the bottom of the gene pool for a couple hours and let's see how stoked you are to be sober.
Yeah. That's why I'm glad I started recording this podcast when I only had 90 days because, I mean, I can barely listen to it now when I listen to the first few episodes because I was insane. I sounded like, why would anyone want what I had? I can't even believe that. It was terrible. I just sounded like the biggest asshole because I was.
You know, and that's what trips me out about today. I was just at this group last night, and I was trying to think, why doesn't this feel good to me? This doesn't feel good. There was something about the meeting that was bothering me. And what it was all these new guys trying to impart book knowledge when they've got like, you know, 30, 60, 90, even a year or 2 years. It's like, when I got cleaned up, that none of that was going on. They'd say, hey, bud. You're going to pick up cigarette butts, and you're going to. Here's how you're going to be of service. This is how you're going to carry your message. Your message is you're going to wipe tables down, and you're going to pick up cigarette butts, and you're going to make us some coffee, and you're going to clean it up, and you're going to sit by the door because you get up and down so many times during the group. We just want you to sit over there so you don't bother anybody.
Yes.
That was my message. I wasn't imparting any book knowledge.
It was like the old guys who said, take the cotton out of your ears and stick it in your mouth, those people?
No, they didn't mind. They didn't mind me talking. They liked it. The old guys used to say, I like listening to you. They all liked it. I wasn't sitting there trying to give book knowledge and give some message of depth and weight or whatever. It's like, dude, why don't you just get physically sober? How about that? Well, let's get that head of yours cleared for a little bit.
Right.
And I remember I even asked this one guy, I said, so, you know, what am I looking at here? How long do you think it's going to be till I get my shit together? For like, you know, like 5 years, I'll start clearing up. And I remember this old guy looked at me and goes, I give you 15, son.
Oh, that's promising.
Yeah, and I think he was right.
Really?
But,
that's how long it took? 15 years?
I don't know. It took a long time. It was 2 years before I even worked a first step.
Wow.
I mean, really worked it. Not this bullshit you're hearing today where people say, oh, you filled out some paperwork and you wrote this down or whatever. But that moment when it really gets inside you, when you really realize that, hey, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble. And it's got nothing to do with going to jail or how much I drank or screwing stuff up. The bottom line was I was going to go again, and there was nothing I could do to stop it.
Right.
And that's what was terrifying. Like, and I don't think a lot of people realize that. They think their first step is the trouble that they caused or whatever. You know, that bottom is really, in my opinion, is when you really realize that, hey, you may like your life now, and you may like how things are going, and things are going good, but chances are, unless there's some great divine intervention on your part, you're going again, and there is nothing you can fucking do to stop it. Not a hero sponsor, not memorizing the big book, not all these commitments, because one day that head of yours is going to say, I've got this, I'm good to go, and you're going to go out.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
I realized that. Okay, and that was what I realized in 2 years, and thank God I didn't go out. I just realized, man, I'm done for. And there was something inside that clicked. I broke for that moment, and there was something inside that clicked. And I believe if people don't break and hit that moment, I think they're done for. And I hear these guys say, sometimes you go, well, I went out because I ceased expanding my spiritual program, or I didn't do a four-step, or no, blah, blah, blah. You went out, bottom line, first step issue.
Yeah, definitely.
Bottom line, you thought it was going to work again, and you did it. Or else, you did it without even thinking about it. which is both standard first step issues.
Yep. I just took the chance. Like, I just didn't. I knew I was done for when I went out last time, but I just didn't care anymore. And that scares me to death.
Well, and see, that's an interesting thing, too, because that's practically, if you think that what this is going to do is going to take you basically to the point of death, then you're dealing with suicidal issues.
Yep, that's definitely what I had.
And that's a whole different thing. And, you know, I've talked to people about that. People go, God, I was so crazy. It's like, wait a minute, man. You weren't crazy. That was a total rational thought. You knew exactly what was going to happen, and you did it anyway. That is not insanity. That is, you are in full, you're in reality right there when that happens.
Yeah.
You know, I heard some girl one time, she's going, I was so crazy. Every time I got fucked up, I would lose my clothes. I'd end up on the street. She goes, it got to the point where I would wear a thing around my neck that had my name and phone number on it. I was so insane. I said, wait a minute, man. I go, that's not insane at all. That's totally rational. You're well aware of what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. So you plan for that event, and it happens. I go, that's totally rational. Insanity is if that happened every time, and you said, but tonight it's not going to happen. I'm only going to have one or two.
Right.
That's insane. But the other is not insane. It's a very sane thought, you know, and that's frightening because we deal with people in insanity, not people in sanity.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, insanity, absolutely.
Insanity. Right. So if you're sane and you know what's happening and you're doing this, then that's a completely different issue.
Yeah, that's an outside issue that like requires
right.
outside help.
That's right. Exactly. I mean, we deal with guys that say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to just switch to this. You know, I'm just going to start smoking weed because that's not going to bother me or whatever. You know,
right.
Like that kind of craziness.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but guys that know exactly what's going to happen. Well, I don't even know if we really have anything to offer them unless they get some desire to want to live.
Exactly. And I mean, yeah, that's a lot of work. It's like a triple program that you have to work every day. I mean, that's how I feel in my life right now anyway, that I've got to do like so many things just to like, you know, keep it in remission.
Right. Well, it's interesting, you know, but, and this is something to say too, like what they used to do, like, so we can talk step stuff. That's okay, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So like that third step deal is basically, I mean, we do stuff, but we just consider that we're put in a position of protection, that we don't really worry about anything or do anything. We've just basically said, hey, our life or whatever is under your watch, and I believe it, and I'm going to act as if it is, and so you just watch out for me, and I'm just going to keep doing my life.
Which works when you're sober, but not when you're drinking and using. It's the opposite.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's funny, too. I always laugh when I just started getting into making short films.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm getting ready to do a little short film on this. But I always laugh at these guys that say, oh, this was God's plan. This was God's plan.
Did I get loaded?
Maniacs? It's like you guys are just maniacs because so much shit. You know, I did a ton of stuff that I never got in trouble for. You know, it's like, oh, God made sure the police were keeping it looking the other way. Oh, God made sure
right.
You know, the knife was there. God made sure the gun was loaded.
Right. Like, yeah.
It's just insanity. It's insanity. I just hear these stuff, you know, well, this is God's plan. But there was this great guy who, gnarly story. I'm trying to remember his name. He was on death row. He was shot from a guard tower during a riot. You know, he had slit some guy's throat. The guy later on celebrated a cake with him. You know, really, Sonny Campbell. That's who it was. And Sonny.
Sonny, he worked at Impact House, right?
Shit, I don't know.
Yeah, he did. I know Sonny. I know some of the guys that he sponsored.
Right, but he's dead now.
He is?
Well, I think so. I haven't seen him in years.
Well, I mean, I haven't even lived in Southern California in 15 years. So I would totally believe that he's not around anymore.
Right. An old biker guy.
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah. With gold teeth.
Yeah. Scary. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so he had a female sponsor. And he said he met some girl and he said, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. He goes, this is God's will. And his sponsor said, Sonny, what makes you think God's a pimp?
Right.
I just love that.
And yeah, that's like saying it's God's, like God protected you by making sure there wasn't a lot of fentanyl in the heroin. So you didn't die.
Exactly.
You did it.
God bless this one. Sorry, God didn't catch you.
Yeah. Oh, God didn't bless that packet.
Yeah. 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 God must have needed your boy more than he needed me.
Yeah. Like, he didn't get to your batch.
Yeah. It's crazy talk.
Yeah, totally. Thank you for listening to part one of my phone conversation with Jack Grisham. If you would like to contact us, it's 415-496-9511. Even when we're not in studio, email is radiorehab@gotoproductions.com. That's GOTOProductions.com. On all the socials, it's @RadioRehabDana. Be sure and join us tomorrow for the second part of this conversation. Keep coming back.